Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 459. Animal Crossing is the only thing keeping my fragile mental state together. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzle.
And that's a long-ass title.
We'll make it fit. That's what she said.
It may not all fit on the, like, iTunes display or whatnot. Podcatchers.
Again, we'll make it fit. And who else was that?
I suppose it's Shiva.
I guess. You're here too. So we're having ourselves a distributed hookah cast tonight. I'm at home recording this in my office, and you and Fuzz are both out on the patio enjoying your hookah.
I am not in the patio. I am in my office because the past two times I've tried to sit out there and enjoy the evening, it started raining.
And it's slated to start raining here tonight and tomorrow, so you would have summoned the rain.
Yeah, I am on my patio, though, because I was like, I really want to take advantage of the nice temperature while I can, and I've been sitting at my desk all day for work, and I just didn't really feel like sitting there another 2 hours to do the recording.
Oh, man, I just realized something.
No?
By the time this clears up, good jasmine season would be over.
Aw.
Well, so,
we can talk about some of the new hellish developments that I just found out, like, yesterday, thanks to Doc Wolverine's Twitter account.
Yeah. There's a lot of hellish developments, because this is week three. We're recording from home again, all remote. Like, I did get a tiny little bit of normalcy. Panther and I did decide to go to Whataburger, hit the drive-thru. They've got the totally not the A1 Thick and Hearty burger back, and I got
that. Why is it not the A1 burger?
It's because they didn't want to pay the licensing for it. So they don't, it's not the A, it's the exact same burger as the A1 Thick and Hearty, but they have a different sauce that tastes a lot like A1, but doesn't use the name, so they don't have to pay
the
licensing on it.
It's not quite the same thing.
Yeah.
This is my jam for many years.
But they had
brand
that.
A1.
It so really is.
We went, you know, what, 3-4 miles up the road? How dare we?
Oh, no. How dare you?
Don't you know that if you drive more than 2 miles, you're a bad person? So
we can talk about that, Saverin.
Yeah, actually, that's an interesting topic, because I had a run-in with the libs today.
So fuck the South, right?
Yeah.
Like, only bad people live in the South.
Only bad people have to drive more than 2 miles to go to a grocery store or their jobs. So this was just – it's an example of when a tweet gets outside the furry sphere, right? I tweet this thing. I quote tweet on the guy who is basically just being like, the South, enough said. Because basically the South is the last place where people have stopped doing a lot of driving for whatever reason. It's this thing without context, without much at all. But this dude that lives in New York City, who has everything within a block or two of him, is trying to dunk on the South by showing this chart sans context. And my quote tweet was like, the last thing we need are smarmy libs saying, mocking the South, slagging an entire reason, not looking at the underlying structural issues and why that might be the case. And it got a couple retweets from furries, and then after a bit it like exploded. And holy shit, the blue checkmark Karens, the wine moms, the resistance libs. I had furries calling me a conservative. I had, you know, people with 47 emojis in their fucking name, vote blue no matter who, hashtag team Biden people, talking shit. And I was like, you know what? this isn't worth it. This is social media. It fucking sucks. I'm not going to delete. I'm going to just delete this and go back to posting what I was already doing, which is Animal Crossing stuff. But I gotta say, the South, it sucks ass for a lot of reasons. A lot of regions suck ass. But it's not, you know, trying to dunk on the South as the metric of having to drive 2 miles to go somewhere as like a negative thing. My dude, have you looked at the South? It's kind of big. It's kind of spread out. Like, for me to go to the Kroger, it's a little bit over a mile. But if you were going to go to the Kroger, Fuzz, that's well over two. For my parents, the closest grocery store is like a Walmart. It's 2.5 miles away. To go to the grocery store they can more easily afford, Town Talk, it's at least six. And they don't have to commute. They just, that's where they have to go to get food. So like using this one weird metric to dunk on the South as if it was this monolith was just really stupid and a weird thing to have like attracted the Donut Brigade. Because like, do conservatives talk about underlying structural issues? No, they don't. And so these people, like, I actually had a small thread and about, like, you know, if you write off the South like this, you're only making it harder for people in the South who are trying to make things better to do their thing. Like, you have this weird condescension from, you know, the guy who lives in the paragon of tolerance of New York City, right, with the well-loved, well-managed police force of the NYPD, going to talk shit about the South as a whole.
Let me ask you something, Savern. Have you seen the other image, the other graph that goes along with this?
Yeah, because I retweeted that one after the fact because I was like, I'm not going to let this go. I'm just going to let my tweet go because I don't need that kind of attention. Because, yeah, it's like when people stop traveling more than 2 miles and not by 326 is most of the South. Well, DFW, Tarrant, Dallas, Collin, and Denton counties are all still – people are still having to drive more than 2 miles. And again, this is a fucking pointless metric. You know, ooh, look at the South. It's all red. But then there's these weird splotches of red out in the Midwest and the like the desert Southwest where, incidentally, those are like Native American reservations where people have to drive more than 2 miles to get anywhere. But the other chart is the correlation of where people don't have cars and there's not a supermarket within a mile. And what do you know? That heavily correlates to a lot of the red spots on the map that this person was trying to use to dunk. It's like such a weird thing for, you know, New York pundit class person to start to like use as a slag when, you know, it's the South is big. Texas is big. You know, the DFW Metroplex is like 1,000 square miles or something stupid like that.
And like, if you're not, like a lot of Metroplexes, if you're living in downtown Dallas, you could probably walk or take a scooter to the Whole Foods that's downtown or something. But, you know, we have a lot of, it's very spread out area, and we have a lot of suburban areas, and like a lot of that stuff, you're going to have to get in your car and drive more than a couple of miles to get to.
So the DFW metro area, the area that is included within the statistical area, the urban area, is just 1,407 square miles of DFW. But the entire area that counts as DFW is 9,286 square miles. So
yeah,
we big.
Yeah, I looked at that tweet, and I didn't take that as a dig.
Oh, not the tweet I sent. The tweet I posted for you to see was just so that you could – you can see the maps that we were talking about. That's not actually a dig.
Yeah, this was that was a response to the person who was using the original map of just the when people stop traveling more than 2 miles. And yes, there are plenty of areas in the South where the leadership did not take things seriously and they did not issue shelter-in-place things. But that's the fault of the leadership. And that's not the fault of everybody living there, right?
Yeah.
I may think the South is not great, but I'm also not going to let some blue checkmark diss the entire region of the country, which includes, you know, all of us and countless, you know, queer and black and minority people in amongst everybody else as this monolithic bad group. It's like, you know, have some nuance. I mean, yeah, it's Twitter. It's like, you're not going to have that, but don't fire a tweet into the void.
Not too long ago, we were talking about Beto's Senate campaign here, and you said you read something that the DNC was asking him to basically give them some of his campaign funds because, you know, why bother wasting that money in Texas, basically. But if you look at the actual numbers, it's like if the DNC had actually supported him more and poured money into that midterm election, he may have won. He got damn close as it was.
Yeah.
And it's like if you just write off – this is the problem with not having a 50-state strategy as a party where you just focus on a handful of places that are seen as swing states and both parties do this and they just ignore – like, you don't see Republicans pouring a shitload of money into California and New York. They just sort of, well, they're going to go blue, so we're going to spend our money in Michigan and Florida. And Democrats do it when they write off Texas, and it's like 30-something electoral votes is just being like, oh, we're not even really going to try there, you know?
Yeah. And unfortunately, that particular line of thinking, because there was some article in like the New York Times, really also inspired some pretty gnarly takes from other people that are just really not very nice. Like, and the thing is, these people are ostensible liberals who like hope for death for the entire South or hope for death for just these people that they don't like, rather than trying to have any ounce of compassion for people they don't know. Like, the particular person I'm talking about is Movie Bob Chipman, because he had a take today that, like, the worst thing about viruses is that they are amoral. Sure, it's fun to think about, say, these people and literally all their viewers collapsing into coughing fits in the street, talking about Fox News viewers, but it might also happen to the 20 to 25% of the country that doesn't deserve to be in pain. And I'm like, holy shit, my dude, this is the view of the world you have? Like, this is a guy who's – he has the nickname of Eugenics Roberto because he has some very spicy tweet. Like, there was a tweet from 2012 from him that was like, man, it sure sucks that the Nazis made eugenics a bad word. And things like, man, it sure sucks that Jim Crow meant that we can't have intelligent tests for voting. And this is a
– oh, my God.
And this is a dude that's like quote-unquote liberal and has a YouTube channel and does stuff on The Escapist.
That's – wow. I hadn't heard of him.
Yeah, he's just a real piece of shit. And it's, again, like these people – you know, and what sucks is that in all this, when it comes to conservative points of view, I can dispassionately dislike them. I can be like, yeah, you're just fucking wrong. Shut the fuck up. But when it comes to things from people who are on quote unquote our side, it like I have more hatred for them than the average like redneck motherfucker who would, you know, shoot a Mexican or whatever. Because like they're misguided. They might be able to be reached, it feels like, maybe. But like when you have these people who just want entire swaths of the country to catch COVID and die for no other purpose than the fact that they happen to live in a region that votes conservative. That's a bit psychotic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I really think the Republicans suck ass and they should all lose power forever and be exiled to 50 foot under the Arctic Circle's ice. But, you know, we still have this group over here on our side that is saying, like, I hope that every Fox News viewer gets COVID. And like, shit, dude, I don't want anybody to get this. This is nasty stuff. And like, it has lifelong effects on everybody, even if you survive it. Like, it's got me super concerned because it does like semi-permanent damage to your lung capacity. Well, guess what? I'm not running at full lung capacity myself. And any less and it's going to be real hard to live, you know? So I just wish these people had a little bit more compassion for people that they didn't necessarily know or like.
Yeah. It's a smug superiority kind of thing. It's just, you know, well, I voted the right way, you know, or my state voted the right way. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of understand feeling superior to someone that voted for Trump. But to be like, well, I live in New York and it's a blue state, so it's automatically better than everybody in Texas.
I mean, New York is the epicenter of all the biggest core of the outbreak because it's the most densely populated area of the country. You know, as good old Bob mentioned, the viruses are amoral. They don't give a shit about your ideological standing or where you voted for. It does matter is if people around you cough on you or you, you know, accidentally touch a surface that someone coughed on 72 hours ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does suck ass that there are people that are being dumb. Like, I saw an article where a group of 20 Austinite or 20, a large number of Austinite teenagers had their parents purchase them a chartered flight to Mexico, and they went on spring break in Mexico. And then a large number of those people, only some of whom went back on the chartered flight, tested positive for coronavirus. And the rest of those people, well, the people that didn't fly back, they flew commercial back to the States. So, like, there's plenty of people who are dumb, and these young people who think they're invincible, but this is going to get anybody. And, like, I already have had one of my Londoner crew, her dad died because of this. He was in a nursing home that had an outbreak, and he was, like, 80, and he died. And, like, right now, my good grandpa on my mom's side, he's got pneumonia, but he had to also go get tested to see if he got it. And, like, my grandpa on that side, he's, like, not quite 90. I think he's, like, 87, 88 or something like that. Like, he gets the Rona. He's fucking dead. And I'll get to see the funeral on Zoom, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not an ideological thing. It's just this is – it gets everybody. So you need to be careful. And not – maybe don't wish it on people, on the regular populace. Like, John Q. Public doesn't, quote, deserve this shit.
Yeah, that seems just evil to make statements like that. Like, wow.
So
– yeah, that's – God.
And
– so – sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, so shifting topics from off of this rather dour start, let's – can everybody just agree to not think that Elon Musk is anything more than a rich boy idiot?
Oh, God.
Did you see this, Fuzz? I'm sure you did. Where Elon Musk, the wunderkind who made the child coffin, the wunderkind who shot his car into space, the dude who promised ventilators and instead bought 5-year-old ResMed BiPAPs and slapped a Tesla sticker on them.
Oh, my. He even slapped a Tesla sticker on them?
He just slapped a Tesla sticker on the box.
Oh.
So the thing is, though, like,
CPAPs and respirators are not the same thing.
Not at all. Well, and the thing is, I'm pretty sure it's like the same model BiPAP you have, Buzz. Like, it's the exact same one. And the big thing about BiPAPs is they don't intubate, and they also expel air. So they would just be spraying lung juice everywhere because you breathe in, you breathe out. It's a dual pressure system. So like it increases your pressure when you're breathing in and decreases the pressure when you get out breathing out, but you're still like sending air back out into the environment. Like, I have to sleep on my left side, otherwise my CPAP mask would blow cold air onto Panther's back, and he would be very unappreciative of that.
He doesn't appreciate having his own personal air conditioner in bed?
No. No, he doesn't. But yeah, like, Elon Musk is like, I will help. I will send you 5-year-olds bulk purchase CPAPs that will not help at all. Jesus. And the thing is, that's probably taking 5,000 CPAPs off the market that someone could buy, like, inexpensively if somebody needed one.
Right, for people that have sleep apnea, like that, like we do.
Yeah. Like, I'm just really glad that mine's behaving still. Like, it's like a 5 or 6 year old machine at this point, but it still works. And I recently fixed the heater unit on it. Well, Panther did. So I now have.
Oh, good. I'm glad. You had mentioned that you had learned how to fix it, but I didn't hear that you had actually gone through and made the fix. So yeah, that's good.
One of those random things. Turns out Guardian has the exact same one, and he told me that he had the same issue and how to fix it. And so with that knowledge, Panther and I went together and got it fixed. So, yay, I've got I can use my water reservoir and get the distilled water so I don't wake up with my nostrils feeling like a desert anymore.
I'm going to make it so dry for you.
So, in other news, how's your toilet paper situation holding up, guys?
Still got a bit, but starting to get worried.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're doing okay. I used up like 10 rolls by wrapping it around myself like a mummy for an April Fool's gag.
As you do.
Yeah, no. But no, we've got enough right now. And honestly, this is a bigger topic, but you know, all the headlines about, you know, all the pictures you see of grocery store shelves just completely ransacked and only like the vegan chili is left behind and stuff like that. But there's other articles that have said that, you know, it takes a little time for supply lines to kind of realign themselves to our new reality of, you know, people being at home all the time instead of at work part of the time or going out to eat or going out with friends a couple of times a week and things like that. But apparently the supply lines are looking pretty good, like they're starting to recover. So I don't really see lack of toilet paper as being like a long-term issue.
The reason we bring that up, though, is there was a really interesting Medium article that was basically someone going like, all right, hey, hold up. This is what you're getting wrong about the toilet paper shortage. You know, it reminds me a bit of the, you know, the McDonald's coffee. What's that podcast you're listening to, like, What You Know Is Wrong?
Oh, it's just called You're Wrong About.
Okay, You're Wrong About. Well, in this case, we're wrong about the toilet paper shortage. And the article basically points out that, yeah, everybody's at home. Everybody's taking a shit at home. And that means that more home toilet paper is being used. What that also means is that industrial or commercial type toilet paper, you know, the crappy stuff you see at the mall or, you know, grocery stores and wherever else.
In office buildings. That a lot of people are in,
It's still being made. It's just not being used. And the thing is, it's vastly different quality paper, as everyone I'm sure is well aware. And so you get these giant ass rolls of, you know, commercial toilet paper that you can get them from certain spots, but they can't just retool their factories to make home toilet paper. So like these companies that are making industrial commercial toilet paper can't just like, oh, well, we're just going to change the paper type around and, you know, make the quilted northern as opposed to the, you know, John Wayne toilet paper that's rough and tough and won't take shit off anybody, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So I thought that was just a fascinating article. It's by Will Oramus, and I'll include a link in the show notes. But it was just like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Because
yeah,
everybody's at home. And like for you, Shiva, you've got a bunch of folks at home, so you go through a lot. We've already like distributed a couple rolls to people because they were like, they're out. And like, well, I purchased a, you know, just a regular pack before this all started, like 2-3 weeks before it started, because I was like, eh, we're down to like 2 rolls here, so we should get some more. And I'm glad we did, because we will be able to poop in peace for a little while longer.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with the food. People are not hoarding food. People are just eating three meals at home 7 days a week instead of, you know, one meal out when they're at work or whatnot.
Yeah, and let me tell you, like, I've had to do dishes, and so much more dishes. In fact, I need to do the dishes again because, like you said, we're eating at home. We're eating, you know, a couple plates a day.
We were talking about this in my place because Ajax does the dishes, and our dishwasher has been practically running constantly since this started.
Well, like, I've been baking, so that runs through dishes. And then we've just been eating at home. Like, again, we broke quarantine earlier today because we decided that we wanted to get traditional podcast food. So we went through the Whataburger drive-thru. And even then, that still, we came home and each used a plate. So we weren't putting the wrapper on, like, our tables or our desks. Mm-hmm. So even going and eating out, we brought it back and used trays.
So here's the thing that we're doing at my house, which I initially thought was, like, I hope this doesn't seem crazy. And then we found out that another one of our friends is doing the same thing. So Ajax started this. We basically have a quarantine room, like the gaming room, /dining room is the quarantine room now. So when we get mail, like, we go in there and we have post-it notes and a pen. We write the date that the mail was received, and we slap a post-it note on it, leave it on the floor of the gaming room, and then we sterilize our hands. And then, you know, we don't take that stuff out of there for, like, 3 days. And even when we unpack the box, like, Tyrion got a Switch recently. Ajax and I bought him one because he needed something to just sort of mindlessly do. So, side note, Tyrion's playing Animal Crossing now. And even when we took it out of the package it was shipped in, we still wiped down the actual Switch box with the Clorox wipe things.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to kill anything that might have gotten on the box from the warehouse or wherever it was that it came from. And, you know, it's nice that we're able to do that because, I mean, that room was only really used mostly for when Tyrion's gaming group came over for Friday night gaming. And, of course, because we're not idiots, we're not having the Friday night gaming group coming over right now. So we're not really using that room at the moment.
Makes sense.
So we can just set little piles of mail here and there with post-it notes on it. You know, that's just another little safety tip. If you have a spare space that you can do that. And if you don't, just make sure you wash your hands and you sanitize whatever comes out of the package.
So how is he enjoying Animal Crossing?
He seems to be really enjoying it. What's been really... This is kind of funny, really, because, as you know, I don't really play video games. But in the evenings, he'll pop his Switch in the dock, and he'll play it in the living room on our TV. And last couple of nights, I've just come in, and I've sat down next to him on the couch and watched him play. And it's oddly really relaxing just watching someone else play Animal Crossing. Like, the characters are really cute, all the animations are really cute, and it's just this sort of mindless, fun little thing watching him go and plant flowers, catch butterflies, and talk to little villagers and stuff like that. And so, I mean, I'm enjoying it too, just watching him play it. And it's, you know, like last night I sat next to him at Ajax as they played it for like an hour. And then I was like, well, it's 11 o'clock, so I'm going to bed. Let's work the next day and all. And so, yeah, it's been really good. He's really enjoying it, you know, building up his little island there. He did this neat thing where, you know, he was telling me anything that doesn't look random is something that I did on purpose. And I was like, okay, cool. And I noticed that he had a little hammock and there was like five tiny trees around it. And the next day when he logged back in, they'd grown a little bit. So he's planted like a little arc of palm trees on the beach around this hammock, so that when they're grown up, there'll be this little group of palm trees and a hammock in the middle of it. And it's cute as hell.
Yeah. One of the fun things I did this last night, where I embarked upon a beautification project on my island and burned my Switch down to 5% battery power. So my island's second flower is lilies. And I went to one of these random islands and I brought back some of the native lilies there, but they had the blue, black, and orange lilies, which I didn't have. So I brought back two of each. And then the next day I noticed that there was this particular type of butterfly that spawned. And it was like, huh, that's really neat. I don't know why they spawned only right here, but I know that they're worth 2,500 bells apiece. So I'm going to like catch every one of these guys I can. And then I found out that they spawn off of black lilies or black roses. So I was like, oh no. Okay, how do I breed this? So now I have this checkerboard pattern of flowers on the island, and I'm trying to mass breed black lilies. As well,
so
as
that you can catch these butterflies. Yeah.
Because previously really cool. There was a trick where you could remove all the stuff from an island so that only like wharf roaches, tiger beetles, and tarantulas would spawn. And you could mass capture tarantulas in this life or death battle, and tarantulas sell for 8,000 bells apiece. But they run at you, and if they bite you, they knock you out, and you respawn back at the dock. So it's a really frustrating and inefficient way to get money that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can mass breed black lilies, and a black lily creates a pretty broad spawn area for these butterflies to spawn, they spawn all during the day. They're worth 2,500 apiece, and they don't bite you. They're worth as much as the wasps, and the wasps like sting the shit out of you, and like if they sting you twice, they knock you out. So it's like, it's a completely harmless, you can't die doing this. So if you just breed these lilies to breed these butterflies, you can fund all the public works you want.
That's hilarious.
See, for me, I've been having a lot of fun with – I got the clothes shop, and I am dressing up in the cutest fucking outfits, I'll have you know. And like today, I was extremely happy to find out that they had – well, they had a bunch of clothes that I liked. But they had steampunk goggles in both green and blue lenses. So I was like, oh shit. I've also been making some clothing in the game, because once you get the shop, you can upload designs that you make to be viewable online. And so I've made a couple of like vaporwavy type – I made a vaporwavy dress, a vaporwavy aesthetic type hoodie. And then I also made like – a subtle like trans flag sweater, and they're all uploaded, and I can include that link in the show notes. But it's just been – it's been really fun to make these designs, and then you just – you can wear them. You can make your own clothes. It gives you a little outlet. You can do a little bit of pixel art, and it shows you what it's going to look like as you're making it, so you can like tweak the design as it goes. It's not fast. It's not easy, but when you make a cool design, it's very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the first things I did was make a Bad Dragon t-shirt. Just a Bad Dragon logo.
I think a lot of furries are doing
that. A lot of furries have.
Also, I appreciated your little For Planet booth that you set up.
The For Planet booth has added board games to its mix today.
Ah, okay.
Cool. I got
another cool thing that Tyrant's done is his little villager has a Switch. I noticed it when he went into his little house. I was like, is that a Switch on the desk? And he's like, yeah, it costs like, I don't remember, like 8,000 bells or something ridiculous. And it was, I just find it very amusing that you can have a Switch in your Switch.
So there's even a special limited edition Animal Crossing Islander edition. So there was the special edition Switch for Animal Crossing that came out. And you can get that Switch in the game. It's 34,900 bells, so it's $350, which is what they cost in real life. So one of the things, the bells in the game, they correlate to yen. So like, just like in Pokemon, 100 Pokedollars is like 100 yen, which is a dollar. So a Pokeball is a dollar. So when you're looking at the massive numbers that they're throwing at you, like for me to upgrade my house is like 550,000 bells. So wait, you're upgrading my house for like $6,000? And so like...
Yeah, I was going to say the house initially cost, what, like 4,000 bells or something like that?
Yeah, so it's like
$400.
So it's kind of funny when you think about it that way, because it's like... I'm catching a butterfly and selling it to these adorable raccoon children, and well, they're tanuki. They're not raccoons. They know the difference. They're little tanukis, and the nooklets.
I don't care what the furry is, Karen.
But they're buying a butterfly that I caught for $25. I'm going down the beach and picking up shells, and they're just like, "Yeah, sure." Or in the case of I shared this in there, it's like. Tom Nook, no, you can't just buy a million turnips. Timmy and Tommy, hee, buddy, pretty go, brr, brr.
Yeah.
That's the other cute thing is when you go in the shop and they talk to you. It's like they're both trying to talk at the same time, and then one repeats a sentence just slightly slower. That's why it's like, hello, hello. It's very cute.
We can hear you.
So.
Yeah. Hang on a sec, Sam. Can you hear us, Shiva?
Yeah, I can hear you. Why?
Oh, you said hello, hello.
No, that was me. I was imitating the Nooklings.
I misheard.
Okay. But no, it's been very cute, and I'm glad that Tyrion's enjoying it. I've been severely enjoying it. Like, first thing in the morning, I'm like, all right, I got to take Adam out before I can go do my island tasks. And, like, I go and make sure that I've picked up all the things and sold to the Nooklings before I go to the Able Sisters shop, so I know I have money to buy the clothes I want. It's very important. Fashion.
Yeah.
I was very happy today the Nooklings had a lava lamp. So I have a lava lamp in my house now.
Is it like random per day?
Yeah, so over the course of the game, the Nook's Cranny is the name of the shop. It expands the number of items you get. There's two unlimited items and two limited items that you can only get one of to start. And then as the island progresses and the game progresses, they have more items for sale each day. But initially, you're fairly limited. And there's also like some online shopping at the little ATM. Like today, I got a lawn gnome from there. It's this weird humanoid lawn gnome that now sits by my front door. And then like you find items in balloons, you get items from villagers. Like, there's multiple arcade machines and multiple pinball machines in the game. They don't actually do anything, but you can get, like, arcade carpeting. Like, the ugly-ass arcade carpeting you would see in, like, a Tilt. And you can get arcade machines and set up an arcade room in your house if you want that to be your thing. And I'm like, holy shit, I want those so badly. But the nature of the game is it's all very random. And so... You just need to network and talk to somebody, because once you get an item, it's added to your catalog and you can order more copies of it. So like if somebody has a thing, you get it and it's at and place it and it's added to your catalog, you can pick it back up and give them the item and then order your own copy from Nook Shopping and it shows up the next day.
That's kind of crazy.
So Animal Crossing, it's so good. Like,
it is the only good thing right now.
It really is. And like, I've been posting a lot of those tweets, and the fact that you can just screen cap anything and then post it to Twitter because of integration from on the Switch means that you can like do your outfits and catch funny little interactions of your villagers. And for me, like my today's look, a fluffy poly Neopagan with a worryingly large skull collection, because I've got this like earth mothery looking sweater dress thing, a zip bomber skirt, Argyle socks, but the steampunk goggles. And also they added a doctor's mask, was one of the objects you could get a couple days ago. So now my character is constantly running around with a dog with a face mask on. It's the only healthy thing you should do.
So Ajax has a collection of dinosaur butts.
Nice.
You know how you randomly will get pieces of the fossils to put in a museum?
Uh-huh.
For some reason, he's gotten just, like, the tail end section of a bunch of them. So he's got, like, a bunch of dinosaur butts and, like, one wing of a pterodactyl. Wait, it's pterodactyl, right? The flying ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Didn't want to forget my dinosaurs there. He does have a triceratops skull, though.
I did think it was really funny that because they come in sections, right? And then I saw someone, they had gotten two front ends of a T-Rex. And so they put the two ends facing, like, on with their butt, with basically the backsides touching and flipped around. So it was like the mirrored T-Rex. It was pretty funny. So, well,
the one advantage of a T-Rex is it can't touch their face.
Very true. But, man, I love that little game. I'm not a huge fan of the current Easter event because that goddamn
can rabbit, I offer you an egg in this trying time?
I have so many of these fucking eggs. And they're all the stuff is just kinda ugly. Though the bag is cute. But it's an Easter themed event. So that's the thing is this is a kind of a live service game where like they patch things in as, you know, chronological time progresses. Cause people you can time travel in the game and like accelerate your gameplay, but then do you run out of gameplay? Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally fine being able to do one infrastructure project a day because it lets me build up the money for the next infrastructure project. But they're doing an Easter event, then they're doing a Earth Day event, and they're doing like, and as the year progresses, they just keep running events and they cycle through. So, you know, we're just now going into summer. And so we're going to like it change the fish and the bugs and stuff around. Certain species went away. Certain new species came in. So it like gives you more stuff to hunt down. They added lionfish and a couple other things that, you know, I didn't have. So, hey, Blathers, guess what? Here's some bugs. Here's some fish.
So one of the things Tieran was irritated about is he ends up playing the game pretty late, to like midnight some nights.
Uh-huh.
And when Nook's little kids were selling everything out of his tent, Tieran would go in there at all hours and sell them stuff. But once the store got built, the store has hours. So it's closed in the evening because the little Nooks are asleep. And he's like, no, the store is closed and I've got all this stuff. So he has to like store it all in his house or his pockets until the next day. And what Ajax didn't know is that, you know, there's a little drop box to sell stuff outside the store at any time. That takes like 20% off of however many bells you get for it. So you could do it right away, but there is a processing fee for doing it that way.
I do like, though, that if you really have – like if you drop an item on the ground, the villagers aren't going to pick it up. So if you have a bunch of fish and bugs, you can just literally drop them outside the store and then come and pick them up in the morning. Because when you put a fish or a bug down, it puts them in a little terrarium or fish tank.
Yep, he has a ton of stuff all around where the museum will eventually be built.
Yep.
Because Ajax has his museum already on his island that he's gradually filling. But Tieran's isn't built yet, so there's just piles of terraniums, area things, sitting around the tent there where it'll be.
Oh, nice. So here's something that just popped up. I mean, we could probably talk about Animal Crossing all night because I super love it. You're having fun watching Tieran engage with it, Fuzz. But here's something that is a little bit of Schadenfreude. So we all know Hobby Lobby. you know, the people that helped fund ISIS by smuggling out priceless artifacts from Iraq and shit.
Yep.
Jesus-y out the butt.
Mm-hmm.
A judge's order came in and shut down the Hobby Lobby off Preston Road in Addison, reminding Hobby Lobby that, no, you are not an essential business. You are to be closed.
So the local one was trying to pull that crap, I guess.
Yeah, it's a judge's order. It's like, April 2nd, 2020, Hobby Lobby Store, Inc., blah, blah, blah. Dear Mr. Doublebower, it has come to my attention that Hobby Lobby is continuing to operate stores in Dallas County during the COVID-19 outbreak. I issued an order attached on March 22nd regarding business operations in Dallas County. In relevant part, the order states that non-essential business should not operate. The order provides additional guidance as to specific types of businesses that meet the definition of essential. It does not appear that Hobby Lobby meets the criteria outlined in the order. You are hereby ordered to cease and desist operations by 2 p.m. on Thursday. If you do not immediately comply with the order, the Dallas County Sheriff's Office may take all appropriate measures. They just run in and they just come in and start shooting the employees. No, but only the management. Note that a violation of this order during a pandemic may be punished criminally as a misdemeanor or enforced by civil action pursuant to the order. Our county is facing unprecedented challenges now, and we want to ensure that you are aware of the obligations placed on you by the order. Please contact me by email with your reply as soon as possible. So basically, they had reopened the store off Preston Road, and the deputies, Dallas County Sheriff's deputies, came in and were like, what are you doing? You are all closed. Get out. Holy crap. Just like.
Yeah. It's,
good.
Then we had the train incident earlier this week.
Oh my God. That was so wild.
That is crazy.
I guess I'll just hit the story on it, because a person tried to use a train to ram the USNS Mercy in Los Angeles. So. Yeah. He drove his train at, like, maximum speed and came to rest 250 yards from the ship. So, GG.
And the train went through, like, a steel barrier, a concrete barrier, a fence, across, like, a gravel road. Like, it got some fucking distance after the end of the track.
I mean, those trains are incredibly heavy. And extremely, like, they got a lot of momentum, but I don't think this guy really thought his cunning plan all the way through. I mean, he obviously is not thinking his cunning plan, because he's claiming that the hospital ship is, you know, is suspicious and didn't believe what the, quote, his ship is what they say it's for.
Yeah, he actually admitted that he didn't think his plan all the way through. It occurred to him in the spur of the moment, and he had to do something. But apparently there's video that the authorities have of inside the cab, and he's holding a lighted flare while he's doing this, so I don't know what that's about. But.
I mean, maybe he's trying to, like, have a flare so that anybody somehow in the way would get out, but...
And the thing is that the Mercy is not actually even there for COVID-19. It's there as an overflow for... the hospitals, because the hospitals are so completely full of COVID-19 patients, the Mercy is there to handle all the stuff that is not COVID-related. Yeah. Like all the regular injuries and emergencies that happen to people in the area, because it's a very large area. And the ship has something like 400 hospital beds and 800 people working there or something like that. It's a pretty big operation.
It's a mobile hospital.
But
yeah, Naval Hospital ship was brought in to handle non-coronavirus patients to help ease the burden of local hospitals. And so it's like, it's not even like, ooh, they're putting the coronavirus people on the military hospital ship because they're going to use 5G Satan rays to mind control them with nano toilet paper. You know, it's...
And that's another thing. They're like, they're... Because all the racists are trying to blame everything on the Chinese right now. And they're also working in 5G fears with that, because they're like, oh, 5G is rolling out in China. They planned this all along, and coronavirus is somehow related to 5G cell phone data.
Like, or it's a bioweapon, or it's a this, or it's a that. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of people that are – cracking up all sorts of wild conspiracy theories about this. There was that dude in, I think, was it Georgia or Florida, who got himself arrested because he refused to not have his church, his church sessions, church services.
That's right.
And
yeah.
They were like, you just had 1,000 people at your church. Holy shit. And they're trying to do it on like, oh, I'm a First Amendment. It's like, you're literally putting 1,000 people together in an enclosed space. You idiot. You're completely – the curve just got 10 feet higher. God damn it.
Yeah.
And what sucks, what really sucks though, is that our governor has said that churches are okay to operate.
Yeah.
And it's like churches are not – are in no way essential at all. And like, I'm really glad my parents' church is like, nah, we're not going to be open for a while. Please feel free to join us at our website. And they do online services. And that's cool.
Which is fine.
That's totally fine.
And the funny thing is that even in a religious sense, churches aren't essential. There's several sections of the Bible that talk about how you don't need to go to a building to worship God, basically. So, like Jesus himself would totally be down with, nah, bro, close the churches,
Like, I think even the Baptidome has, like, join us for worship online signage outside the Baptidome.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's good. Because that's a really, really big church. That would be a massive.
I mean, it's huge.
Pocket. Yeah.
Like, and my parents' it's church like is similarly large. Thousands. Mm-hmm. But they're taking things seriously. It's going to be these more fringe types that try to do it. But I'm also kind of wondering if that Jeffries dude, the like 12,000 attendee Baptist church in downtown Dallas is going to like meet.
Oh, that guy's super fucking out there too. So.
Yeah, it's like you can pray all you want, but that's still going to wipe out a chunk of your congregation. If you like decide to hold services, it's wildly irresponsible.
All the things that Republicans and conservatives are doing wrong is going to hurt their own base, like the elderly, the religious people, the people in rural communities. Like they're fucking over all these people that are their voters,
and
yeah.
I completely understand the desire for congregation and for the desire to see people. Like, I miss hanging out with my friends. I miss hanging out with you guys. But I know that none of us want this. We all have households that we need to be concerned about. And, like, you know, it's not just ourselves. It's the people around us that we care for. And even just random strangers.
Because seriously, even people you know, it's like – you go to Kroger and you catch COVID at Kroger and you go home and you give it to Panther. Now you've got one set of two people. But if you're asymptomatic for 14 days and I'm like, oh no, Saverin's cool. We can hang out during this. Well, you give it to me unknowingly. And then I give it to Tyrion and Ajax. Mm. And it just goes like that. If people are not being careful, it'll just keep multiplying like that. So, yeah, even your very good friends that you trust, you know, you people from different households should not be intermixing right now. So, you and Panther need to stay your little unit, and me and Tyrion and Ajax need to stay in our little unit, and Shiva's got her household, and they need to just only be around each other. And the three of us should absolutely not hang out right now, because we could get, like, 10 people sick just like that, and then it just multiplies from there, and that's why this is such a fucking dangerous situation.
Yeah. Though it was funny because people are still trying to be slightly social. I was out walking Adam before, you know, just before we started to head towards this, and there was still a group of kids from the adjacent complex. They were out in the field kicking a ball at each other, but they were all maintaining distance. Mm-hmm. So they were like all, you know, 6 to 10 feet away from each other, but they were kicking the ball back and forth just so they could get outside and see each other. And I was like, good. I'm glad you kids are adhering to the spirit of it, if not the letter.
Tyrion was out mowing the lawn the other day, and he came in and he's like, yeah, I guess the social isolation is starting to affect our neighbors. Because I had like 4 different neighbors talk to me while I was mowing the lawn. And they maintained their distance, but clearly they were all missing interacting with other people.
We've had that same kind of conversation with our neighbors here, you know, checking up on each other, seeing how they're doing, but we're all making sure and we're keeping our distance.
So I'm going to talk about the hookah place that I like to go to.
Okay.
The Zodiac hookah. It's not far from here. And I was like, I wonder if they're doing pickup or delivery for food, because in addition to hookah, they also do really good food there. And Ajax and I really like the shish tawook, which is a dish they do there. So I called him up, and he's like, yeah, you know, we're doing carry out, you know. So I went down there, and I was going to pay and pick up my thing. What he's doing, he's also offering delivery of hookah.
So,
yeah. So
how does that work?
So he'll take a hookah, a bowl, like 2 sets of coals, and he'll bring it to somebody's house. That it's within a 10-mile radius of the store is the limit. He'll bring it to somebody's house. They'll pay. The next day, he'll go over there and he'll pick it up. And I'm like, that, you know, Tyrion was like, or Ajax was like, that's ingenious. And I'm like, but also dangerous. And I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure he's not making a lot of money doing that, but something's better than nothing to try and keep the business open, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, plus it's not like he's bringing the lighted coals, like, lit in the car. He probably lights them for you while you're there.
Yeah, either that or you have to, you know, provide your own lighter or something. I don't know. But, yeah, he'll do delivery of hookah. You know, he was telling me about it. He's like, if you want a hookah, you know, and I'm like, no, I got one at home. I smoke here because I want to get out of the house for a bit and have dinner. So, you know, I'll just take the food. But, and I tipped like double what I normally do because they're a small business. They've been open less than a year, and I know they're not bringing in the income right now that they normally do.
Yeah, I've been meaning to order some pizza from Pizzarella because they're probably hurting.
Mm. I did go down there one day and I picked up dinner for Ajax and I. Like, he got a pizza and I got a calzone thing. And I might do that again tomorrow, actually. I'll ask him if he wants to do dinner there again. Go down there and pick it up. Try to support your local businesses if you want them to stick around. Speaking of business, there's been a lot of talk amongst all of us publishers. We're having a discussion today, and there's an article going around. It was actually posted in the South Post chat about Diamond Comics Distribution is currently not paying their vendors. So, you know, comic companies that send them comic books to send on to the comic stores, those comic companies get paid by Diamond to do that. And Diamond is right now not able to make those payments, in part because the comic shops are not able to make the payments to them. And the comic shops are also not ordering as many comics because they're all been forced to do delivery and pickup orders. So Diamond is basically, it's not legally a monopoly, but for all practical intents and purposes, it functions as a monopoly in the comics distribution scheme. Like, they're the only place that you can, as a retailer, that you can get, like, Marvel and DC comic, which is, like, the vast majority of comics sold in comic shops. So they're it. And if they go down, that's a major blow to the comics industry. And comic book stores are they run on a razor thin margin anyway. Like, as far as like all small businesses is pretty precarious, but comics shops don't have a lot of profit margin. So that's another concern, is that that's an industry that could be very badly hit by this current situation. And a good friend of mine owns a comic shop up in Seattle, and you know, it's been around for like 5 years, and they just had a big expansion, and you know, I'm concerned about them now. You know,
we recently had a couple of gaming stores open right near here, right? We had Texas Toy Soldier and Boardwalk. Like, it was just opened up on Midway in Frankfurt, right? And I know some people that played games there, and they're closed right now. And like, those things run on super thin margins. They sell, you know, they make money on selling snacks and cards and shit, and they don't have that right now because people aren't able to come and play at their stores. Like, basically anything that's not quote-unquote essential, all the niche shops that we've got, like wargame miniatures and comic book shops and tabletop game shops, like, they're gonna be hurting or non-existent.
Flower shops, bakeries, independent coffee shops.
Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because they're franchisees. So, like, Adam and Eve, the company, won't go out of business, but a franchisee could totally close.
Yeah. Well, like, I know, like, the Sarah's Secret or whatever that's up Marsh there by Mina's, that's closed. Uh-huh. I think everything in that little shopping center is closed right there. Mina's is doing takeout, which is good. But it's really weird to see that the Fitness Connection, the parking lot, that place is almost always packed, but because it's all gyms have been closed, it's empty. It's so weird to see that parking lot empty because it's so insanely busy all the time, except right now it's not.
Yeah. Between the gym and Mina's, it's always full.
Yeah. Well, also, and now, like, it's Lin's.
Oh, yeah, the Chinese buffet. Yeah, they're very popular also. And there's lots of little stores in that plaza. The I forget the name of it. It's Oh Something. It's a very Irish name, but there's an Irish bar and grill at the corner, like next to the barbershop and the UPS store. And they had like a big last night thing, like the day before the actual order to close everything went into place. It was pretty loud over there.
So, yeah.
But, yeah. So, the other thing I'm concerned about is what I learned via, like I mentioned, Doc Wolverine's Twitter was, I didn't know about round two. Did you guys know about round two?
Well, I saw Doc Wolverine's tweets about it.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know
round about two? This. No, I hadn't.
Round two of the coronavirus, basically, is that, you know, we're going to go through a cycle now, and eventually the curve will flatten, curve will shrink, and, you know, hopefully in the next month or so, we'll have this under control, but then people will still be sick here and there. Without a vaccine, this doesn't just go away by itself. So round two is when winter gets here. And he was saying around October, November, we're going to get a second big spike in people getting this virus. And just because you had it once doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to be able to get it a second time. The second time might be less severe than the first time you get it, but you might still get sick a second time. And we're going to have to take all of these precautionary measures again. So from on our side, looking at what we do as furries and with For Planet, now I'm kind of like, well, shit, look at BLFC postponed their convention from May to Halloween weekend. Now there might be the possibility that the October-November conventions get canceled as well. So This could basically what he said was something like, don't expect to go to any large scale event for 18 to 24 months.
And that's pretty scary, honestly, because that affects, well, everybody in our little genre here. Like, it affects Fiesta. Yep. but it affects Siesta and everything else. It's not just, oh, this short-term thing.
Yeah.
As Doc Wolverine put it, that this is a long-term fundamental change of society. Like, we're in week three of this, of, well, week three of 75. Who knows?
And this is the Great Depression of this generation. This is going to change things for multiple years. 10 million people have filed for unemployment in 2 weeks, I think it is.
Yeah.
So we're already seeing the economic effects of this. And the government is finally doing some things, but, you know, financially for people and businesses. But it's not enough yet. They're going to have to do more. They're talking about, if you make less than, like, a certain amount, I think if you make less than $150,000 as a couple, or as $180,000, I don't remember, you get $2,400. I think if you make less than $75,000 as an individual, you'll get a $1,200 check. And it's like, I'm sorry, but if you have lost your job because the company you work for can't operate right now, a single $1,200 check is going to do fucking all, you know? That's like a single rent payment for some people. It's significantly less than a rent payment for other people, depending on the area that you live in. And even if you have a relatively cheap rent, you know, that's just rent. You know, you've got all your other things as well, like your health care and food and car and, well, I guess not car, but, you know, everything else.
Yeah, $1,200 anyway, for us is not quite a month of rent.
Right. So, like, this Band-Aid is really not going to last.
This is like that cheap off-brand Band-Aid that falls off in a half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a meme picture on that I saw on Twitter of, like, it was like a bunch of military guys or police are fixing to break down a door, and it's everything written on them is like healthcare, next month's rent, groceries, and then it shows the inside of the door is being held closed by a Cheeto, and the Cheeto is labeled $1,200 payment.
Yep.
This Cheeto of a payment is not going to hold off all of the average person's expenses. But hopefully some of the other things that are being talked about, like rent forgiveness or mortgage forgiveness, like if the property owners can get mortgage forgiveness on their property 6 months, then if they're a decent landlord and not a shithead, then they can give rent forgiveness to their tenants the same amount of time. And that would definitely help alleviate the concerns of a lot of people. Because if you're not on your apartment complex, there's no fucking reason why you should not be able to give people a break on having to pay rent for that period of time.
Yeah, it's a bad time for a lot of folks. And like right now there's a moratorium on late fees. Like, I saw a thing where it was like, hey, you know, I can pay $150 right now and pay the rest. And then the landlord replied with, okay, well, then with the late fees, it's going to be $404. And they're like, hey, guess what, motherfucker? If I pay you $150 now, my rent's $300 remaining. And I will report you because this law that was just signed puts a prohibition on this. And they're like, oh, actually, you can just pay
all late fees. Yeah.
they got put in their fucking place.
I did see an addendum to that, though, that apparently the wording on the actual law, it's not all apartment complexes, unfortunately. It's specifically, like, a lot of it is, like, anything that is government-subsidized that they have control over, basically, they're on those. But if it is, like, a private company that owns your apartment complex, that's your landlord or whatever, they're not bound by that.
Well, at least worked in this particular situation.
Yeah, it worked in for that poster's favor. And, like, you know, even if it was a bluff, they didn't call it. So that's good. And I think that will eventually, hopefully, get pushed out to be broader. You know, basically, we need nationwide rent and mortgage forgiveness for the next few months for everybody. Be like, fuck it. You know, we're already loaning the banks trillions of dollars to keep them operating. And as somebody pointed out, we loaned the banks billions of dollars in 2008 so that they didn't go bankrupt. So now is a really good time for them to return the favor and not collect rent and mortgage for a few months to give people, you know, the ability to stay in their homes during this time.
Yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned this on last week's show or not, but one of the really fucked up things that I heard coming out of Britain was that, in more than one case of this, like a British nurse, was their landlord was like, hey, you're a really high-risk tenant because you're a nurse. And I'm like, yeah, they're really at higher risk of contracting this virus. So this guy was like, yeah, so I'm not going to renew your lease. I'm evicting you. Like, they're already putting their lives on the line by being a nurse, by being on the front lines, by helping people. And their landlord is like, yeah, I don't want you to get the whole complex sick. So, you know, now you're homeless. Now you have to find somewhere else to live.
Yeah, that is extremely fucked up because, I mean, it's not like nurses make a lot of money to begin with, really. And they shouldn't be having to pay rent at all, especially right now, considering what they're doing, keeping people alive or at least comfortable. So
yeah, so that's fucked up.
Yep.
So, Shiva, I'm assuming you aren't playing Animal Crossing?
Nah, I don't have a Switch.
Oh, okay.
Well, there are two Switches in my household, but not an interest in buying it by the other people.
Gotcha.
I do want to let you guys know that Fauna just taught me the fearful reaction, and I'm like, honey, I already know that.
Fauna hasn't moved in yet on Tyrant's Island, but her little house is Sarah ready for her.
Nice.
But there was Renee. That's her name. Tyrant has a mare living on his island called Renee, and it's spelled Nay. Like,
I actually have her moving in here tomorrow because I found her on an island.
The one thing about Animal Crossing is ideally designed for furries because it is just stuffed full of bad dad-level animal puns.
Yeah. Like, right now on my island, I have, I think, 7 villagers.
Nice.
So, I have Fauna, who's a deer. Puddles, who's a pink frog, who's actually pretty nice. I've got Axel, who's an elephant. Cherry, who is a dog. Ed, a horse, because of course. Rex, a lion. And Yuka, who is a koala, who I need to go say hi to because I have not seen her yet.
Ah. Tyrion has the little rhino dude.
That's cute.
I've forgotten his name, though, but he's like a total like bodybuilder type. Tyrion describes him as a himbo.
Oh, it's so cute, though, because like in the mornings, villagers will get together and do like aerobics in the town square.
No.
They'll do little weightlifting. So, like, this morning I had Puddles and Rex doing calisthenics in front of the resident services building.
Oh, that's so cute. I love how real it all is. Like, they've put so much work into this. Like, one of Ajax's villagers had just moved in. So, Tyrion and Ajax went into their house, and all of their stuff is in boxes with tape on it because they haven't unpacked yet. And it was just so adorable.
Yeah, I just went and introduced myself to Yuka, and she's like, oh, my apartment looks like a mess. Come talk to me after I've moved in. And I'm like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
But I went and said hi to you. I am a good resident representative.
Yes.
Very important.
So what else is going on in the world apart from coronavirus and Animal Crossing?
The box office has crashed in a very hilarious way.
Yeah. I noticed that it's down 100% from this period last year.
There was an article that was like, the box office made $5,100 this last week, as opposed to $200 million last year.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of movies where it's like they made zero at the box office because they were released but didn't actually get released in the box office. It's all went direct to video.
Right.
So the metrics are all kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. If things are back to normal in 2021, people are going to be like, wow, we're 300% over last year. And people are going to be like, yeah. I know the shareholders want to hear that, but we know why you're 300% over last year.
Yeah. It'll be infinity percent over last year.
I had my job's done two cool things today. Well, one was yesterday and then another today. So my company feeds their people, like we've got snacks and drinks and they feed us lunch. It's a perk of working for an indie star. And so people today suddenly started going, hey, on our work Slack channel, sending pictures. Company has sent out snack boxes to every single employee. I haven't gotten mine yet, but about half the team got it today, half the team didn't. So they sent out like little treats to everybody.
That's nice.
That's really awesome.
And I'm a team lead at work, so I'm part of the whole management structure. And in our morning stand-up meeting, my manager kind of let it trickle on down from basically the VP to the director to him and then to us. But the VP, who's over all of us, basically said, hey, I'm kind of worried. I took a look at the numbers, and we've had 3 weeks of pretty much no one, period, took a day off at all, the end. That's mm-hmm. really weird not to have anybody out. So he said he was kind of worried about when everybody comes out of this, that everybody will take PTO all at once. Right. And just kind of worry about everybody hitting burnout because we're pretty much going work and home and work and home and work and home. He said, go ahead, talk to the team in like the next 2 weeks or so. Have them take an extra day, any day. Just take a day off. We don't want anybody on days, you know, stacked all up. So we have to spread it out. But just pick a day and take it off.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my team meeting and I told that to my team. And everybody's like, woohoo. And I sent out like a Google sheet so everybody could fill out like on their little row, their top choice. And instantly it's opening and people are putting in numbers. So yeah. And that was just a VP going, hey guys, take an extra day. We're dealing with some shit.
Is this coming out of a regular PTO bank or it's just a bonus day?
We don't have a PTO bank.
Oh, you're on one of those unlimited PTO companies?
Yeah, which is one part guilt, and there has to right, also be yeah. availability, because they found with a lot of like our level industry folks who are so used to having everything reined in, folks are paranoid about taking too much, so they average less. Plus, there's no carryover or payout when somebody gets let go.
Right, yeah. That wouldn't be a problem for me. So, I would be taking PTO all the time.
We got about, you can ask for it. Doesn't mean they'll give it to you because it has to be like
approved.
Yeah, there's business need and all this other stuff we have to go through. So
right.
But yeah, that was just out of the blue. So mailed us snacks and my VP gave us an extra day off just, you know, because.
That's great. And yeah, I think people really need that right now, because I know one day last week, I think it was, I took a partial PTO day because I was just like, I'm just not feeling this today. And like, sure, I feel like that a lot, but I was like, I think I need a mental health day.
There's degrees and, of, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, like, you know, the job's no harder than it normally is, because I was doing it partially from home anyway, but it just, you know, everybody's worried, and there's all this upheaval in our non-work lives as well with the quarantining and everything like that. So, yeah, we're all under a lot more, we're getting a lot more mental fatigue than we normally do. So I think it's important to, and I was talking to someone on Twitter about this as well, that like, it feels silly to take a day off when you're already working at home. But I think you really need to have that time to turn your brain off of work mode, even if you're physically still in the same place. You need to be able to shut that off and give yourself that mental break.
Not only that, I mean, we saw Jacoby basically said that they've been working for like 11 days straight at this point.
Yeah, he's doing OT, so that's why he's working extra. I could do OT at my day job too, but I don't really have the impetus to do that. One thing I'll say for the working at home though is that, I mean, it does give me something to do for 8 hours. You know, I sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish we were just sort of on leave right now, you know? But then I'd just be at home with nothing set to do. And yeah, I could probably get a lot of For Planet work done, but there would probably be a lot of times where I would get bored or depressed or end up sleeping too much. So at least the job gives me a set thing to do for these particular hours, for 8 hours a day. I was going to mention something else also that I read, was that, you know, everyone's familiar with the fight or flight response that the humans still have.
Yeah.
And it turns out there's a third option. When you can't fight and you can't get away, your body's response is to play dead. So if you find that you've been tired more, you've been sleeping more, if you've been wanting to nap more, that's your body going into play dead mode, because you're being hit with all this negative emotional stimulus and you can't fight or flight.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something I didn't know about till I read a article about it online the other day, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And,
I wonder if depression is tied into that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because depression makes you want to sleep more as well. So if you already suffer from, like, depression or anxiety, that's going to feed into that. So that's another good reason that I'm at, my job is actually still on at the moment, is that I'm not going to fall into a depression, sleep all the time cycle, because that'd be really bad for my mental health.
All right.
Well, it's good to know that. I just put that out there as an FYI of, hey, if this is happening, this is the reason.
It's an explanation.
This is how bodies react to stress.
Yep, and it means you should probably maybe take a PTO if that's an option for you.
Mm-hmm. And it was really important. So, like, part of the reason this we didn't get started today is that we were doing projector surgery, like, right before this popped off. The color wheel, actually, no, it was last week, like on Friday, the color wheel on our projector died. And without the color wheel, it can't
project.
It doesn't work. And it was this mechanical piece that was actually just like a $30 part. But without it, this, you know, formerly like $1,100 projector doesn't work. And without that, we couldn't watch stuff together. And that sucked. But.
Yeah.
But. We got the part in today and did projector surgery, and it works. And
awesome.
I told Panther, all right, so what you have to do is watch some Netflix and make sure that this works, because like, we had watched the first episode of Picard, and like, that's free to watch right now on CBS All Access. And HBO.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just made a thing.
Yeah, I heard about HBO. Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. I have an All Access subscription because I've been watching Picard anyway. I didn't know they were going free also. That's cool. But yeah, I'm definitely going to look into the HBO Go thing.
Yeah. Other things that have gone free, Faku, the legal hentai website, has gone free for the moment. Pornhub is still doing their free stuff. There's lots of free games on, Steam. Lots of free games on Epic Games Launch right now. Like, Steam just added 3 free games to... Oh, what was it? It was one of the pinball games. just like, hey, here's three free tables. And
nice.
They also have the Medieval Madness board you can purchase. I'm like, holy shit, I remember playing that in the arcade so much. Because that was a real common one. I'm also pretty sure that they have the Addams Family. That one.
Cool.
As Pinball FX3 care package includes, comes with Star Wars Pinball, Aliens versus Pinball, and Marvel Pinball Heavy Hitters. So it's the base game, it's just basically, it's a free platform, and you get three free pinball tables that you can just enjoy. They have lots of licensed Star Wars and Marvel content for some reason, but they also have a bunch of other DLCs, or it's like three packs of games, and it's like $10 for three tables, but they're like these faithful 3D recreations of things. Let's see. Yeah, definitely Medieval Madness is a fantastic one. Like, I'm also pretty sure, like, all right, Williams Pinball Collections. Oh, they have the Attack from Mars table. That was a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
It was a short table that incorporated a screen. So that was a weird one. But basically, it's some more free shit. There's companies like, hey, this stuff's free. Please play some games. Actually, the Epic Game Store is doing their spring sale. That's cool. Right now in the store, as of this recording, there's a game called Totally Reliable Delivery Service, which is free. Drawful 2 is free. Gone Home is free. A game called Hob is free. Basically, a lot of stuff is on sale and or free right now to encourage you to stay home and play video games as opposed to going out. Like, some of these sales, it's like, oh, the Brolands 3 base game is $30, but fuck Randy Pitchford. Don't give them money.
Who's Randy Pitchford?
He's the CEO of Gearbox and one of the primary shareholders, so he's like permanently involved. They pay below standard wage for the industry because they're based out of Plano. They're off of 75 up there in East Plano, and they promised people very large bonuses on the success of Borderlands 3. And then yesterday announced, well, actually, no, we're not giving you any bonuses. Sorry.
Mm.
And so, like, these people that had made, like, financial plans based on promised bonuses are just in the lurch.
Yeah, that's really fucked up. Especially since, you know, Gearbox is worth, what, $4 billion or something like that? Yeah,
like, and Borderlands 3 is one of their largest selling games ever. And Pitchford himself took a $12 million bonus at the start of this year.
Fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him.
So I have another topic that I wanted to discuss that I just remembered. Okay. So you guys may be familiar with the John Hodgman and the Rat Erotica painting?
Yes.
The one from you shared the link?
Yeah.
I could not remember the name of the show.
Yeah, Last Week Tonight is the show. And the artist of the piece is Biohazard. And basically John Hodgman said, so this painting, a couple of these paintings got quote-unquote famous in a small way because they were auctioned off on a PBS art auction in the 90s on like a local PBS station. And, you know, Hodgman was apparently just amazed that this had happened. And he's like, I want to get this painting. If the original person is there, and the original person paid like $80 for it, I think. They're like, I will pay you $1,000 for the original painting, and I will donate $20,000 to a food bank in your area. And it's York County, Pennsylvania. So it's the York County Food Bank. And I guess the food bank, of course, got wind of this. So one of the people that works at the food bank actually set up a Fur Affinity account and left a shout on the artist's page of, hey, we really want to get in touch with you. We really want to find this painting. This would be like a huge windfall for us because they're really, like, I don't know if they said overworked or not, but they're helping a lot of people right now. The tweet that she had made that day, they had, like, just delivered meals to 800 households. So they're really busy. And then his Ajax tweeted this, and a couple of others tweeted about this, too, that were basically like, you know, it's a little shitty to the food bank to sort of hold this maybe amount of money over them based on conditions that they can't control. Like, you know, if you're in a position to donate $20,000 to a food bank, you should just fucking do it condition free, right? So the idea was put out there of fuck that. We as a fandom should show that we're more than just this silly joke about this painting. So now we're encouraging furries to just go and donate to the food bank. We can put a link in the show notes for how to do that. Ajax and I have already gone and donated some money to them. The only thing I want out of this is for us to come together as a fandom and be like, hey, let's see if we can raise a good amount of money for this food bank without having to find this 30-year-old painting.
Yeah, and the particular artists as well, like, they did some not good stuff. And a lot of their, like, I don't even think the person's active anymore in the fandom. But the thing is, like, they wanted to buy it from the third party who purchased it, so, you know, fuck them, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, the idea to donate to food banks if you have the opportunity and means to do so would be a good thing. You don't have to do the silly John Oliver bullshit where it's like, it's funny and cute. Yeah, sure, you want this pic of rats cuddling. All right. But how about you just use your money without making people jump through hoops? That'd be cool too.
Yeah, yeah. And that's basically the feeling. Like, and I don't know if making fun of furries was John Oliver's goal. I honestly don't think it is, because the media has kind of moved past that.
But oh, I don't think he was making fun of them.
No, I don't think so either. But I'm saying some people on Twitter thought that, and that's what they were taking it from it. And I'm like, you know, if they take that from it and it inspires them to donate $50 to this food bank, then fuck it, you know? But I'm just like, yeah, let's do a good thing as a fandom. Because, yeah, totally, we should be supporting each other, but also supporting those less fortunate. And it's just a good thing to do. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. You know, I think that would be cool if we did that as a fandom.
Yeah.
Have you heard if AIDS been raised?
I know some has, but I'm not sure. I'd have to go back to her Twitter page and see if maybe she's mentioned anything, like, about anything coming in or whatnot. I know at least Ajax and I put furry stuff in the, like, there's a field on their form, like, if this donation is in a name, I think he put something like, from the furry fandom, or something like that. So, you know, hopefully that will help them keep track of the furries that are donating.
They're voting with their wallets.
Yes, we are voting with our wallet.
That's still sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Well, so she hasn't tweeted very much today, so I don't know. But, you know, it would be nice to hear. I'll keep an eye on her Twitter in the coming weeks. And if she's like, oh my god, from the furries, then I'll be happy.
Yep. It's like,
that'd be really cool.
Again, do what you can to support each other in these trying times.
Yep.
Even if it's just checking on your friends.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking of that, actually. Now that it's been, like, yet another week, I'm like, I actually really like having a phone, you know, being able to actually talk to my friends and catch up, because I haven't seen y'all in person in, what, 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we'll have to keep in touch.
Tomorrow will be my third week.
Yeah.
Well, like, 2 days
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I kind of lost track of time.
Oh, I legit was like, wait, it's Thursday today? Like, seriously, I have lost all track of time. My sleep schedule's gotten weird. Like, I wake up and then I'm just like, oh right, time for Animal Crossing, take the dog out. It's like, I have to take Adam out before I can do my Animal Crossing, because that takes me like maybe an hour of running around and doing my morning tasks.
Hey, don't make the dog wait.
Oh no. Poor Adam, he does not want to wait. Also, pro tip, in Animal Crossing, you can bury up to 10,000 bells in the glowing ground when you dig up a bag of bells, and the tree that spawns in like 3 days will give you 3 bags of 10,000 bells apiece. You can do more than that, but the guaranteed return is only 10,000. So if you have the spare bells and the money spot is there, in 3 days' time, you'll triple your money. Just requires patience. Yes.
Tyrion told me that the money literally does fall from trees in that game, so maybe that's what...
Well, occasionally there's little glowing golden spots on the ground, and when you dig them up with a shovel, you'll get a bag of like 1,000 or 5,000 bells. And that glowing spot, you can then select from your inventory a bag of bells. Like, say, hey, I want to put 10,000 in a bag, and you bury it, and a little tree grows there, and it's the money tree.
Can you do me a favor and telegram Tyrion that Easter egg you just said before about the 10,000 bells? Just sure. In case he doesn't know. Thanks.
Yeah, like, I took some photos of my grow operation. My grow op. And I was going to post because, like, I found out I was doing my hybridizing completely wrong. And so I spent, like, an hour last night digging up all my flowers and repositioning them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have gardens for, like, oh, this is pretty and aesthetic, and, like, other ones are like, this is my grow operation. This is where I'm trying.
Gardening is so much easier in Animal Crossing than in real life.
Like, so. I have to grow the black lilies, and, like, I'm going to buy a couple Nook Island passes so I can maybe go to an island that has the flowers I want already and just steal all the black lilies, because I want nothing but peacock butterflies on my island. Because those boogers sell for cash. Also, there's the gay lizard and the gay beaver. They're partners. There's the lizard Flick, and then there's also the beaver. They work together, and they're both very passionate about the thing that they like. One is about bugs, one is about fish, and they pay you a premium, a 50% premium on bugs and fish. So, like, I had stored up a bunch of tarantulas and got paid $250,000 from Flick.
Mm-hmm.
$250,000 bells. So that, gotta make that money somehow. And I don't know why this guy's keeping $2,500 so he can get like 30 tarantulas from me, but if homie wants 30 tarantulas, he can have 30 tarantulas.
Everyone's got their thing.
That's a lot of fucking spiders.
Yep.
He's probably getting off on the venom in small doses.
He's also an artist. Who accepts commissions. If you bring him 3 of a critter, he can turn it into... He gets you, like, an anatomical model of them. So I have a peacock butterfly model in my house.
That's nice.
But he's like, oh, you want to do a commission? And he gets all bug-eyed. And because he's a lizard, he's a chameleon, he gets very bug-eyed. It's very cute.
Nice.
Basically, what I'm saying is that thank God for Animal Crossing. Okay, what's the
beaver's name? Lesson of the week.
Yep, the beaver's name is CJ, and you talk to him. He's like, "What's up, fishinista? Picked a name for your angler sona yet? Yuck! Hey, if you got fish to sell, I'm your hookup. I got bells jingling a hole in my pocket. I don't have any fish for you, dude.
Y'all want to go ahead and wrap it up? We're almost 2 hours here.
Yep, this is going to be an extra super long one, but guess what? That's what you get. And
we're home and bored.
We're home and bored, and we're talking eagerly about Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing that everybody can get together on. There is a tape deck.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that it's so creative, because you can, like, design your own clothes and, like, share those designs. Like I said, I made several things, and I've got people that could conceivably go and get them and wear them on their own. And you just do it, and it tells you who made it in your inventory, but, like, it doesn't cost any money, and you can just get these cool designs that people make. Oh, shit. No, yep. Oh, fuck. Oh, bees.
That's hilarious. I can't believe
you're actually playing Animal Crossing while we're recording.
Well, I mean, again, it's a low-impact game. Like, we're talking, and you're talking, and I'm, like, running around shaking trees on my island. Because you want to pre-shake the trees with your net in your hand. And if you position yourself correctly, you can always get the bees before they sting you. Except I fucked up and got stung in the face by the bees.
No!
So now I have to go back to my house and take medicine.
So if you've enjoyed our rambling and want to hear more of it, you can find us as Southpaws on your podcatcher, whichever one you're using. If you want to support the show during these trying times, we are SouthPawsCast on Patreon.com. I encourage you to support more worthy people first. If there are artists and authors out there in the fandom who are struggling because all these conventions are going away, then I'm all for $2 their way and try to help each other out. If you want to find us on Twitter, we're at SouthPawsCast. We still have a Tumblr at SouthPawsCast, where the episodes are auto-posted. Yep. Me, you can find at Fuzzwolf on Twitter. I'm going to try to... I think I might try to social distance myself from my Twitter account for a bit, because it's the fresh hell machine, that's for sure. Anyway, over to whoever wants to go next.
Well, you can find me on Twitter, where I'm alternating between posting cute pictures of Adam, cute pictures of Animal Crossing, and retweeting things, and occasionally accidentally getting too spicy on Twitter and getting yelled at by people, which is unfortunate and not fun. Ooh, can I put the tape deck on the barrel? Yes. Time to play some Surfin' KK for the thing, for the people. I shook a tree and a tape deck fell out. And so now that I've set the tape deck outside, when my villagers wander by, sometimes they'll stop and sing along with the music. It's very cute.
Aw, cute. So, I'm starting to you, Brock. That was time.
What was that, Fuzz?
You were breaking it really bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said I'm starting to feel the first few little sprinkles of possible rain. So wrapping up now is really good timing.
All right. Well, cool. All right. And you are free of social media, Shiva, but you can find you in the fan chat.
Exactly.
All right. So on that note, good night.
And wash your hands.